We've been taking our time going through the book of 1 Corinthians. And we saw in our study last time in verses 10 through 17 that Paul was dealing with the first problem here within this church. It was a church with many problems, as we've noted. But in our study last week, he began to deal with the first problem, which was that of division. And the problem stemmed from the fact that, as you recall, that the people were focused on men and had taken their eyes off of Christ. Now, how did Paul deal with this problem? He took them to the cross. He took them to Jesus Christ and him crucified. Paul said there, "I wasn't crucified for you." And we noted that Paul basically said to them, "I didn't come to win people to myself, but I came preaching Christ and him crucified." In fact, in chapter 2, Paul would say that when I came to you, I sought to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. That was his message. That was his heart. Well, in the section that we come to tonight, or the next section listed here in verses 18 through 31, Paul is still dealing with the issue of division, but he does so by contrasting human wisdom. That's where they had their focus, was on men, human wisdom with godly wisdom. He contrasts earthly wisdom with the cross. And we will get to that section in detail the next time that we come together for study. But tonight, since we're celebrating communion, I think it would do us some good. It would benefit us to really focus our attention on verse 18. So look at that with me. It says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." Now, the first thing that we want to draw our attention to here is that Paul is not talking about salvation in the context of justification here, but he's talking about salvation in the context of sanctification. It's been said that justification is the miracle of a moment, but sanctification is the process of a lifetime. Justification is when we are taken out of Adam and we are placed in God's Son when we come to know Christ. It's when we are placed in Jesus Christ and we are declared holy because we are in Christ. Sanctification, though, is what God does in our lives to make us more like His Son, to conform us into the image of Christ. It's the process by which God works in our life to make us holy in the practical sense. So we see in these two words, justification and sanctification, we see the difference between positional and practical holiness. In justification, you're holy because of where you're at. You're in Christ. But in sanctification, it's a process that we're going through where God is making us holy. So the message, Paul says, of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but it is the power of God to those who are being sanctified. That's the word that's used there for being saved. It's for those who are being sanctified. Now, being a Christian means that you are constantly battling three forces in the world: your flesh, this world, and the devil. And our position in Christ is one of being declared righteous, not because of who we are, but because of whose we are. It has nothing to do with us in our fleshliness, but has everything to do with where God has placed us in His Son. It's not because of what we have done, but it's because of what He did, and because of where we're at, we have been placed in Christ. But our flesh, that's our place positionally. But our flesh, or in our flesh, we daily have to have contact and battle with the world. And we daily find ourselves in a war with the devil. And we daily find ourselves struggling with our fleshly tendencies. So where do we find victory? Where is the power to resist temptation? And it's not only victory over our flesh and victory over temptation, really, that we're looking for, that we're seeking after, but also we need power to serve the Lord. We need power to endure through suffering. We need power to wait upon Him. You see, I know that there are some of you here tonight, some of you men, who are frustrated because you're not the husband that you'd like to be. And you wrestle in your flesh and you battle with your flesh and you're, you know, constantly being attacked by the enemy, and you feel, some of you, even defeated tonight because you know, man, I'm not the husband that I'd like to be. I'm not as sensitive as to my wife as I would like to be. I'm not the father that I would like to be to my kids. And so there's that frustration there, and the enemy likes to come and he likes to get us and condemn us and get us to begin to focusing upon our inadequacies and focusing upon that struggle, focusing upon those areas where we mess up. Some of you women here tonight, you're not the wives that you know the Lord would have you to be. And it frustrates you. And so maybe you've come in here tonight just kind of dragging your head and feeling, you know, kind of down and kind of discouraged. Others here have been struggling with temptation. You've been having a hard time changing some habits that you know in your life need to change. And others, you've been wrestling with feelings of inadequacy as it relates to ministry, as it relates to service, feeling like, man, God can't use me. I'm such a blow it, and I don't have it together. And so we all come in to this place tonight with different needs and different struggles because of that battle that we are in on a daily basis with our flesh, with the world, and against the devil. We probably all can relate to that song that we sing sometimes here, more love and more power, more of you, Lord, in my life. That's what I need. That's what I'm lacking. Lord, more power, more of you. And we feel that way because we're constantly faced with the fact that we are lacking, that we are so needy. So we want to cry out, Lord, give me more power, I pray. Well, Paul says here that the message of the cross is the power of God for those who are being sanctified. But in what sense is the word or the message of the cross the power of God to those who are being sanctified? That's what I want us to contemplate for a few minutes tonight before we come to the table, before we come and partake of the bread and the cup, before we celebrate what our Lord has done for us. Now, some of your Bibles may read that the preaching of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. How many of your Bibles read it that way, the preaching of the cross? Okay, several of you. Now, although that is a true statement, for we recall in Romans chapter 1 in verse 16 that Paul said he wasn't ashamed of the gospel because it was the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. And we know that at the core of the gospel is the message of the cross. But to say that the preaching of the cross is the power of God doesn't capture the full meaning of what is being said here. And this is something that we need to understand. You see, in this process of sanctification, it's not as I go out preaching the cross that there's power to do that work of sanctification in my life. There is power in the message of the cross, and it brings salvation. But you see, the word message here is the word logos, logos in the Greek. It is the same word used in John chapter 1, where John wrote, in the beginning was the Word, the Logos, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Logos was God. And then he says in verse 14, and the Logos became flesh and dwelt among us. The word Logos speaks of the sum total of divine revelation. And Jesus Christ is the living embodiment of that divine revelation. That God has manifested himself in the flesh. He manifested himself in his Son. Listen while I read to you from Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 15. Paul says that he, speaking of Christ, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of the cross. Paul says, in Christ, all things consist. That in him, all things were made. That in him, the Father sought it right that all the fullness should dwell. So when Paul says, understand here, the word of the cross is the power of God to those who are being sanctified, he is speaking of the whole embodiment of what the cross stood for, including who was on it. God's Son, Jesus Christ. And that's why the preaching of the cross is powerful. You see, it's through the preaching of the cross that men find the word of the cross, Jesus Christ himself. It's through the preaching of the cross that men find Christ. But Paul here is speaking not about the preaching of the cross, but the logos of the cross. Jesus, who was on the cross, is the power of God for sanctification, for that process of being set apart for all of those who believe. So how does Christ on the cross then relate to this matter of sanctification? And how is that power activated that enables me to be the husband that God has called me to be? That enables me to be able to resist, to have the power to resist temptation. That activates that power which enables me to be able to serve the Lord. What is the correlation and the connection between God's power and Christ on the cross in our lives? I believe the answer to that question is found not only in Christ's work on the cross, but his example. Through his work, we who were dead have been made alive. Through his work, we who were weak have been made strong. Through his work, we who were lost have been found. Through his work on the cross, we who were in chains to sin and to death have been set free, because he declared it's finished. Because he declared that it was paid in full. Because he declared that he who the Son of Man sets free is free indeed. Through his work on the cross, all of those things and much more have been accomplished in our life, but it's in Christ's example on the cross that I think we see the key to God's power within our lives. You see, in Christ's example in going to the cross, it was a total act of submission to his Father on his part. As you recall, it was there in the garden that he prayed, Lord, if there could be some other way, Lord, take this cup from me. But Lord, not my will, but your will be done. It was there in John chapter 12 that Jesus, making reference and talking about the cross and giving the example of a seed falling to the ground and dying. And unless it dies, he says, it remains alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. He was speaking about himself being that seed that was going to fall to the ground and die so that through that birthing process, through that dying process, the church would be birthed and fruit would come forth. But then he said, my soul is troubled within me. Why was it troubled? Because in his humanity, he's looking at the cross and he's going, this is going to be difficult. He was struggling. Not with sin like we do, but with his flesh like we do. And so he said, Father, be glorified. And in those two statements, we really see the key in Christ's example for us. You see, Jesus' whole life was about the Father's will, the Father's heart, the Father's way. Lord, I want you to be glorified in my life. Lord, I want your will to be done. And so he set his face like flint and he went towards Jerusalem knowing what that was going to entail, knowing that a cross awaited him, knowing that they would yell at the beginning of the week, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, and crucify him on the end of the week. Jesus was a great example for us. But the supreme condition for the working of the power of the word of the cross in our lives is that we know what it means to be crucified with him. That we enter into that place of death with him, as Paul declared in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You see, it's when I come to the point of ceasing to try and do things in the power of my flesh, or in the power of my own intellect, that the power of the cross becomes operative in my life. It becomes operative in me and through me. It's the crucifying of the flesh, of my selfish ambitions, of the desires to have my own way, of the crucifying of the self and yielding of the self to Jesus Christ. You see, Christ taught us that through death comes life and through dying comes fruit. And if we desire to experience that life in our marriage, that fruit in our Christian walk, that power over temptation, that power to serve him, it starts, listen closely, when I come and begin to walk in that reality of Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, and I begin to allow Christ to live through me. It's when I come and say, you know what, I can't do it. It's when I come and say, Lord, you need to be on the throne. It's when we come and say, Lord, let there be more of you and less of me, so that as people look at me, they see you or more of you and less of me. The word of the cross, the Logos on the cross, is the power of God as I yield to him. Listen to this quote from G. Campbell Morgan. He says, listen closely, it's a little lengthy, that great power of the cross operates in and through only men and women who are content to die with him, to be at the end of self, that he may be the one supreme enthroned and crowned Lord of the life. But it is this dying that hinders us. Those ambitions must be laid aside. These prejudices must be crucified. This pride must be humbled. That goal toward which I have been running, which is in the last analysis, pure selfishness, must be swept away, and I must be willing to say, I live, yet not I, it is Christ. It is that canceling life, I, in the life of the Christian, that creates contact with the power of the cross. It is only as we are prepared to go down into the death of the cross that we shall begin to find its dynamic and its thrill, and shall know its mastery in us over all that is against us and through us and over all that is against God. So tonight, as we approach the communion table and partake of the elements which speak to us of his body and of his blood, we are not merely recognizing and celebrating the salvation that Christ has accomplished for us, but we also can acknowledge once again that when he died, we died. This is a time not only of celebrating, but it's a time of yielding. It's a time of coming to the table and recognizing what he did at Calvary for us, but also that for us to be in him and to really experience his working in our life, that he said that we have to die, that we have to deny ourselves and to pick up our cross and to follow after him and to die to self. It's that place of confessing our need of forgiveness. It's that place of confessing that we have fallen short. It's that place of coming and confessing that we no longer are desiring to seek to walk in our flesh or to serve in the power of the flesh, but we're acknowledging, Lord, I need to die so that your life and your power might be manifested in me, so that I can be the husband that you want me to be. And I think there's some tonight, some couples here, that God desires that you would come to the table humbly and acknowledging, Lord, we've been in the flesh. We've been at one another. We haven't been loving each other the way that you have called us to. And we've sought to do it in our flesh, and we've sought to do it through our flesh. And then we went to the other extreme of seeking to satisfy our flesh by standing our ground. And God, tonight we want to humble ourselves and say, Lord, we need you. We need your power. We need that power that was displayed upon Calvary, that was working in the spiritual realm of breaking the chains of darkness, so that man would no longer have to live in his flesh, but he could walk in the Spirit. Lord, we need that power to be operative in our life as we come to the table and acknowledge that need. And for others of you, maybe that tonight you've been struggling in an area of your flesh, in an area of temptation, and you've been trying and saying, I'm not going to do that anymore. But then you do it again. Stop struggling and striving in the flesh and come and call upon the power of the Lord to be unleashed in your life. As you confess, Lord, this is sin and I want nothing to do with it because I know this is the very thing that put you on the cross. So Lord, fill me tonight. And others maybe need to come just because, like we so often do, you've been wrestling with your own inadequacy, feeling like, man, God can't use me. But as we see Jesus on the cross, we see that he has imparted salvation to us. But also, he's opened up the door for us to be able to be used. That he is opened up the door that through his life living in us, it's no longer I that live, but it's Christ that lives in me. And tonight we need to come forward and say, Lord, I want you to live through me once again and use me to your satisfaction. Lord, let me be a vessel that you can pour yourself into and then pour out upon others. And I think God wants to minister to many of us in those ways tonight. As James and Rebecca come back out and we begin to worship, I'm going to encourage you, as you feel led to make your way down to the table, as you're ready in your heart, the pastors and elders are going to be up front available for prayer. Also, if you have a physical need and you'd like for them to lay hands upon you and anoint you with oil, they'll be up here ready and prepared to do that. But perhaps before you come to the table tonight, you need to go over and get with one of them in prayer. and just confessing where your heart has been and the struggles that you've been facing, and be able to come to the table with all of that behind you and just exclaiming and proclaiming and celebrating that life that God has given to us. The word of the cross, the logos of the cross, is the power of God for those who are being sanctified. That's us. Let's call upon Him tonight as we worship Him. Let's pray. Father, we do ask tonight that You would show Yourself strong. And God, I pray right now as we examine our hearts, Lord, that You would maybe show us those areas where we've been leaning upon the flesh or maybe been caught up in the flesh. And Lord, I pray tonight that we would humbly come before You. And Father, that we would bring our hearts and place them, Lord, at Your feet and allow You as the great physician to do surgery on us tonight, to purge the areas that need purging and prune the areas that need pruning and to bandage up, Lord, those areas that need to be healed and touched. Lord, we bring ourselves to You tonight, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.